Good afternoon, 4:30 and 60 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
Not only does it annihilate our incredibly biodiverse forests, there's something like 2,000 miles of streams have been buried.
Vivian Stockman of the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition says it's time to end mountaintop removal mining for the good of Appalachia.
A South Shore woman has been killed in an early morning fire.
And two local governments approve a TIF district for downtown Ashland.
In sports, the Reds wrap up their series with the Yankees tonight.
Bud Luke has the business news.
Scattered showers tonight, low of around 56 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A pre-dawn fire in South Shore has taken the life of an elderly woman. According to WSAZ, 72-year-old Carolyn Hunt was killed in the blaze that broke out around 12:30 this morning in her home on East First Avenue. Greenup County Coroner Neil Wright says Hunt's husband attempted to get her out of the house, but she is bedridden and the effort was unsuccessful. Wright says the man was able to escape. The cause of the fire has not yet been determined.
Portsmouth police say a 45-year-old man died Monday night in a bar fight. WCHS is reporting that the unidentified man was unresponsive after an EMT crew responded to Frankenstein's Lounge in the 700 block of Chillicothe Street. Police say the victim had been involved in an altercation at about 10:30. They continue to investigate.
A former Morgan County attorney and district judge has been arrested. WYMT reports police responded to a call that reportedly claimed an intoxicated female was at Comfort Suites in Prestonsburg. When authorities arrived, they found 47-year-old Kimberly Eisen Gevedin of West Liberty in the passenger seat of her vehicle. She allegedly told police she consumed a lot of alcoholic beverages. Gevedin was charged with alcohol intoxication in a public place. She previously served as district judge in the 37th District of Morgan, Elliott, and Carter counties.
Two persons have been arrested following an investigation by the Fade Drug Task Force. According to a news release from Fade, in custody are 29-year-old Sabrina Wright of South Shore and 33-year-old Stephen Barnett of New Boston. She is charged with felony probation violations, and he's accused of possession of a controlled substance and possession of a handgun by a convicted felon. The arrests were made with assistance from Flatwoods and Russell Police.
A former Lexington councilwoman has pleaded innocent to five felony charges related to her former position as the general manager of a Lexington hotel. The Lexington Herald Leader reports 34-year-old Sasha Love Higgins entered the pleas Friday to charges of identity theft, forgery, and three counts of theft by deception. Higgins is accused of issuing and cashing payroll checks in the name of a former Hampton Inn employee. The gross amount of the seven checks was just over $5,700, which became about $4,200 after taxes. Higgins' attorney Fred Peters says the money was used to pay contract employees, and there was no intent to deprive anyone. Higgins was elected in November and resigned April 27th, the day after the indictment was released.
A tax increment financing district is on its way to Ashland. Ashland City Commissioners and the Boyd County Fiscal Court voted unanimously today to create a TIF district in the city's downtown. Boyd County Judge Executive Steve Towler says the district will run from 13th to 18th Streets.
Specifically, the area around the Ashland Plaza Hotel, developers have obtained a national franchise, Marriott people. They have a lot of hotels. It's called the Delta, and it's a very, very nice, you know, arrangement, and so the developers are wanting to buy that.
Towler adds that officials may look into similar projects to further revitalize the downtown area. TIF districts are often used by local governments to finance public works improvements to benefit the neighborhoods where they are located.
State Senator Reggie Thomas says Kentucky's tax code must be reformed to bring in additional revenue, while the House Budget Committee Chairman Stephen Rudy says it needs to be refined to reflect a more service-oriented economy. The Lexington Democrat and Paducah Republican outlined their priorities Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight. Senator Thomas says he'll oppose any effort to shift Kentucky's revenue needs more toward sales taxes. Regardless, however, he says the Commonwealth must generate more income.
This cannot be revenue neutral. We've got to raise at least $1 billion or more. All the reports, all the studies, even the most recent one that was done in 2012, indicated that we now have a structural budget deficit of over $1 billion. So we've got to raise at least that amount of revenue.
Rudy says any proposals to bring in more money will have to come from Governor Bevin. He says lawmakers will look to the Republican to sell those ideas, but it's clear one change is sorely needed.
We have a tax code that is currently based on a manufacturing economy that we just do not have. And if we're going to have comprehensive tax reform and move Kentucky's economy into the next generation, we need to base it on a more aligned with the more service economy that we do have.
Rudy says he does not know when the governor will call a special session. Bevin talked about the need for tax reform in his State of the Commonwealth speech earlier this year.
The president of a company that operates 13 active coal mines in Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, Utah, and Illinois says the closing of hundreds of coal-fired power plants in recent years has left the country's energy grid unstable. Robert Murray of Murray Energy tells C-SPAN's Washington Journal that coal is still the most reliable and cheapest form of energy in America.
Coal-fired electricity is 4 cents a kilowatt hour. The electricity from a windmill and a solar panel is 26 cents a kilowatt hour. It gets 4 cents a kilowatt hour from the taxpayer, you, as a subsidy. Wouldn't even exist without the subsidy. Natural gas has historically been 15 cents a kilowatt hour.
Murray says that makes coal one-fourth the cost of natural gas and the best bargain for households struggling to make ends meet.
A leader of an environmental organization that's trying to stop mountaintop removal mining says the practice is destroying precious natural resources and endangering the health of Appalachian people. Vivian Stockman is vice director of the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition.
That type of mining detonates tons of explosives. There was a big uproar over the bomb that we dropped in Afghanistan, the mother of all bombs, as there should be an uproar over that. But that type of bombing is going on by coal companies on our mountain in West Virginia.
Stockman says people who live near a mountaintop removal mining site are more likely to have cancer, cardiovascular disease, or be born with birth defects. She also appeared today on C-SPAN's Washington Journal.
Southern Ohio Congressman Bill Johnson agrees that that coal can be mined in an environmentally irresponsible way. The Republican, whose district includes Ironton, argues that that's the case in China, but he claims much has been done by the industry in the U.S. to protect air and water. Johnson tells C-SPAN that's what people in his district expect.
Some of the cleanest coal-fired power plants in the world are right here along the Ohio River. The Cardinal plant, not too far from here at one point, was considered the cleanest burning coal-fired power plant in the world. I would disagree that coal-fired energy is bad for the atmosphere.
Johnson says some people who drive battery-powered cars to promote cleaner air recharge those batteries by plugging them into their home sockets using energy from a coal-fired plant.
Ohio's environmental regulators have issued a $430,000 fine against the company building a natural gas pipeline from West Virginia to Michigan. The Ohio Environmental Protection Agency says the penalty stems from water and air pollution violations at a number of locations. State officials say work on the Rover natural gas pipeline since March has resulted in 18 incidents involving mud spills from drilling, stormwater pollution, and open burning. Energy Transfer is the company building the $4.2 billion pipeline.
President Trump has tapped an aide to Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell and a veteran Pennsylvania regulator to serve on the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Only two commissioners currently serve on the five-member panel, leaving it with a quorum and unable to make decisions on interstate pipelines and other projects worth billions of dollars. Trump nominated Neil Chatterjee, McConnell's longtime energy advisor, and Robert Powelson, a member of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission, to the federal panel late Monday. The nominations require Senate approval.
Moorhead and Rowan County saw an increase in tourism revenue in 2016. Joy Brown is the executive director for the Moorhead Tourism Commission. According to Brown, the direct economic impact of tourism in the county last year was $44 million, up about $108,000 from 2015. Brown credits the improvement on her agency conducting an intensive marketing effort over the past few years, along with increasing its use of social media.
That has been phenomenal, and a lot of it's just free advertising. And I told in a speech the other day that social media can be a great thing for you or a really bad thing for you. So we try as a team to take everything bad and turn it into something good. So I think we've got a good team working for us, and I think they're all promoting Moorhead the way it should be.
Brown says the key to adding to that improvement is to continue to let potential visitors know all about the things there are to do and see in Moorhead and Rowan County.
Moorhead City Council voted yesterday to pass an ordinance that will lower the fee for a temporary alcohol license. The cost has dropped from $166.66 to $50. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the temporary license is designed for short-term, one-day events like music festivals.
If, in fact, in the future it goes to more than one day or 2 days, then we may revisit that and to see about what the fees can be commensurate with the number of days. But as it is right now, the whole thing was to make it more cost effective for someone to come in and provide the catering for that.
Trent says the city is working with Downtown Moorhead Incorporated to ensure the license is used appropriately.
The Mason County Library Board is discussing the future of the facility. Director Valerie Zemter says even though the library's current building in downtown Maysville was constructed back in 1995, it has major structural problems because it was built on fill dirt. She adds it's also lacking in other ways.
Some of the service life of the components of the building are coming to an end. So, you know, that's a heavy investment. There's infrastructure issues, like, for instance, we don't have nearly enough outlets. And it's something that simple. I don't think 22 years ago anybody foresaw the digital boom.
According to Zemter, the needed renovations to the current library building would cost around $2.8 million, adding that a new facility would cost about $4.5 million.
Veteran Greenup County Judge Executive Bobby Carpenter has changed his mind about retiring when his term ends next year. Carpenter says he decided to run for re-election at the request of President and CEO of Brady Industries, Craig Bouchard, who asked him to stay on so he could help oversee the completion of the company's new $1.3 billion aluminum plant in South Shore, which had happened in 2020. In addition to helping with that effort, Carpenter says he has some other goals in mind should he win voter approval to serve another term in office.
I'd like to see the sewer, some infrastructure projects, you know, things that we need in the Lloyd area. You know, we've been working on that for years, and we're trying to get that all done. And we can get, because you're going to need housing all over this county.
Carpenter has served as Greenup County's judge executive for nearly a quarter of a century.
Three eastern Kentucky counties are receiving emergency road repair funds. MSPR's Victoria Agee has that story.
The state transportation cabinet has announced that Morgan, Magoffin, and Menifee counties will all be getting money to repair some damaged roads. Morgan County will receive $148,550 in rural secondary road aid emergency funds for slip and slide repairs on Kentucky 705 between mile markers 5 and 6 and Kentucky 2498 near mile marker 6. The Menifee County Fiscal Court is receiving $19,270 in county road aid funds. That cash will be used for work on a drainage structure over the East Fork of Slate Creek on Ferguson Hollow Road, just east of Kentucky 3340. Nearly $50,000 is earmarked for Magoffin County in rural secondary road aid emergency funds that will be used for slip and slide repairs on Kentucky 3334 between mile markers 4 and 5. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Lawrence. Tonight, variable cloudy skies with thunderstorms possible. Hail is also possible, low of around 56 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Tomorrow, cloudy skies in the morning, then thunderstorms developing later in the day, high of around 79 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms in the evening, then mainly cloudy overnight with thunderstorms likely, low of around 63 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. On Thursday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, high near 80 degrees, chance of rain at 40%. Rather. Thursday night, thunderstorms are possible, low of around 61 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. And on Friday, thunderstorms possible, high of around 71 degrees, chance of rain at 100%. Right now in Ashland, it's 55 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 57 degrees. 60 degrees in Inez, 77 degrees in Lexington, 75 degrees in Winchester. And in Moorhead, it's 60 degrees.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, nurses serve on the front lines of care, and in Kentucky, they're getting paid more than those in many other states. A new survey from Wallet Hub ranks the state in the top 10 for starting salaries for nurses. We get details from Mary Sherman.
Whether they're working in a hospital, physician's office, or nursing home, Kentucky nurses can take comfort in knowing they're earning some of the best wages in the country. It's National Nurses Week, and a recent survey from finance website Wallet Hub ranked Kentucky 25th on its list of best states for nurses. But when it comes to wages, Wallet Hub analyst Jill Gonzalez says the state is in the top 10 for starting salaries for nurses.
They're making about $2,500 a month. Also good for the annual salary for nurses at a growth projection, specifically registered nurses, nurse anesthetists, and midwives, all making just around the $100,000 mark or more.
The survey examined several metrics, ranking Kentucky 23rd nationally for opportunity and competition and 24th for work environment. The nursing industry is expected to grow at more than twice the rate of the average profession through 2024. And Gonzalez says nurses are facing several challenges as the industry adapts to changing dynamics.
So an aging U.S. population is one. A student loan crisis affecting what nurses are actually looking into is two. And three, the future of healthcare as we know it and key entitlement programs for nurses specifically.
There are nearly 72,000 professionally active nurses in the state. And during National Nurses Week, Gonzalez encourages Kentuckians to say thanks to the nurses in their lives. This is Mary Sherman, Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Holly has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eastern Kentucky CEP. The Carter Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Grayson will host a job fair on Tuesday, May 16th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Grayson Career Center, 1141A State Highway 7. LPNs, registered nurses, and CNAs are encouraged to bring resumes for interviews. The Carter Nursing and Rehabilitation Center job fair at the Grayson Career Center, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Tuesday, May 16th. More information at 474-2412 or online at ekyjobs.com.
The Reds battle the Yanks again tonight. For MSPR Sports, I'm Holly McClurkin. The Cincinnati Reds will look for a measure of revenge tonight at 7:10 when they again host the New York Yankees. The Yanks last night got homers from Matt Holliday and Brett Gardner and steamrolling over the Reds 10-4 at Great American Ballpark. The Bronx Bombers got off to an early 3-0 lead, and manager Brian Price's ball club could get no closer than a 7-4 deficit.
We got our hits, and we had some opportunities to score. We had a couple of chances to really get ourselves back in the game. We weren't able to come up with a big hit. Bases loaded, and a pop-up and a double play. But in the same respect, we didn't play very well. They had 13 base hits, but 24 base runners. That's not a good sign.
1-1, Tim Adelman pitches tonight for Cincinnati. The Yankees will send veteran lefty C.C. Sabathia to the mound. In some baseball notes, the Braves have released veteran slugger Ryan Howard from their AAA team in Gwinnett County. The 37-year-old slugger hit only 184 in 11 games with one homer. The Cubs have placed outfielder Jason Howard on their 10-day disabled list with an injured finger, calling up pitcher Dylan Floro,
with AAA Iowa to replace him. And Pirates pitcher Jameson Taillon will undergo treatment after having surgery yesterday for possible testicular cancer. A former staff member for the University of Kentucky men's basketball program is facing charges. MSPR's Chuck Meraz reports.
The Herald Leader reports that 44-year-old Leon Smith of Lexington was indicted last week by a federal grand jury on charges of money laundering, aggravated identity theft, and of devising a scheme to defraud and obtain money and property from clients under false pretenses through his two professional management services. Smith, who worked as Coach Tubby Smith's director of operations from 2006 through 2009, is alleged to have misappropriated nearly $1.3 million in money belonging to his clients. The paper says former Wildcat Josh Harrelson is in that group. If convicted, Smith could get 20 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, and 3 years of supervised release. He'll be arraigned next Monday. For MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Morales reporting.
When preseason drills start in the fall, the battle for roles on the Morehead State men's basketball team will be wide open. So says new coach Preston Spradlin, whose Eagles have signed 8 new players this spring while also adding a pair of preferred walk-ons.
All the guys coming in are going to have an opportunity to compete for minutes and compete for spots right away, and I think that's very attractive to young guys out there. You want to go somewhere, A, where you're wanted, B, where you're comfortable, and C, that you'll have an opportunity to play. So we checked all those boxes for all the players that were able to become a part of our program, and I'm very excited about them.
The latest addition to the MSU roster is 6'2 guard Austin Crawford, who joins the program after averaging 25 points and 8 rebounds a game last season for the Polar Bears. The Kentucky football program picked up a commitment from a prized recruit. MSPR's Braxton Howard has more.
Four-star offensive lineman Maquan McCall verbally committed to Kentucky Monday night on Twitter. The 6'3", 320-pound McCall is ranked as the third-best offensive lineman in the country and the best player in the state of Michigan, according to Rivals.com. McCall picked the Cats over offers from multiple schools, including Tennessee, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Michigan. McCall becomes the seventh member of the Cats' 2018 recruiting class, which is currently ranked as the 24th best class in the country by multiple recruiting services. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Braxton Howard.
Coach Marvin Lewis says the Cincinnati Bengals' weekend minicamp was a productive one. The Bengals' youngsters got on the field at Paul Brown Stadium to work with the team's coaching staff. Lewis says, if nothing else, they demonstrated they're fast learners.
I think everybody is pleased. I think to a person on the coaching staff with their group of young players and how they've been able to take the concepts from the classroom onto the playing field.
The Bengals have OTAs scheduled for both May 23rd through the 25th and then again on May 30th and 31st. And finally in sports, ESPN says it has signed former Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow to a multi-year agreement to continue as football analyst for the SEC Network. Tebow has worked for the network since 2014. He's spending his spring and summer playing baseball for the New York Mets Class A minor league team in Columbia, South Carolina. He's hitting .242 through 26 games with 2 home runs. For MSPR Sports, I'm Holly McClurkin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Murray State for 3 games this weekend, 5 p.m. on Friday, 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
4:54, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke has been keeping track of business news for us this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. The Dow Industrial Average and the S&P 500 both closed lower after the North Korean ambassador to the United Kingdom said the country will proceed with its 6th nuclear test. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 36.5 at 20,975.78. The S&P 500 was down 2.46 at 2396.92, but the NASDAQ composite did manage to close at another new record high as it was up 17.93 at 6120.59. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 4-3 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Leading consumer stocks today were shares of Marriott, which rose more than 6% after posting better-than-expected quarterly results. Also, after the close, Disney reported better-than-expected earnings. However, the stock was down over 1% in after-hours trading as investors saw that operating income for its cable business, which includes ESPN, was down 11% from the same quarter in 2016. In economic news, the NFIB survey today showed that small business confidence slipped in April, and wholesale inventories for March rose 0.2%. Economists polled by Reuters expected a decline of 0.1%, and the JOLTS, which is the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, showed job openings totaling 5.7 million for the month of March. In the Treasury markets, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield was up 2 basis points as the price of that particular bond dropped slightly, and the 10-year Treasury yield at the close was 2.39%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.1% at $45.92 a barrel, while gold was down 0.5%, finishing at $1,220.30 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Nike and Walmart. The worst performers were Chevron and Cisco. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Marriott International and American Airlines, and the worst performers were Sealed Air and Tegna. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 12 cents at 123.16, CSX unchanged at 51.81, AEP down 43 cents at 67.31, AK Steel up 5 cents at 5.88, Marathon Petroleum up 13 cents at 51.47, and Kroger was up 12 cents to finish at 29.04. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures in historic downtown Maysville, Kentucky. Eat Gallery works with gold and silversmiths who specialize in creating wearable art jewelry. For the jewelry you no longer wear or heirlooms that need updating, Eat Gallery can create wearable pieces that will last generations. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast in the MSBR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, variably cloudy skies with scattered thunderstorms, low of around 56 degrees. There's a chance of rain at 50%, also a chance of small hail. Tomorrow, cloudy in the morning, then thunderstorms developing later in the day, high of around 79 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms in the evening, then mainly cloudy overnight with thunderstorms likely, low of around 63 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. On Thursday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, high near 80 degrees, chance of rain at 40%. Thursday night, thunderstorms possible, low of around 61 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Friday, thunderstorms, high of around 71 degrees, chance of rain at 100%. On Friday night, thunderstorms during the evening, then cloudy skies later overnight, low of around 50 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Right now in Ashland, it's 55 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 57 degrees. Inez is 60 degrees. Lexington is 77 degrees. Winchester is 75 degrees. And it's 60 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Xavier Adkins, Victoria Agee, and Holly McClurkin. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.